Amen. On behalf of our senior pastor who's not with us today, Pastor Ben Hakalitz, I'd like to welcome every visitor that's here this morning. Just put your hand up if you're a visitor this morning. If you're new in the house, welcome to the house of the Lord. Come on, Living Light, give him a welcome. Amen. 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 God is good. Pastor Ben have been preaching in the past 3 months, let's say. He's been preaching in the last 3 months, and he's been taking the church somewhere, what I call growth. Coming from a toddler like hungry down here, and you are growing as you are being fed with the Word of God every week. Every week, you are growing in the Lord. You are becoming stronger in the Lord. You are becoming the person that God wants you to be. Hallelujah. You know, as a child like Henry, you wouldn't even know what he would be doing in 20 years from now. He might be a CEO of a company. He might be an engineer. We don't know. But as he grows, as he lives life, as he breathes that air every day, he continues to move in this cycle called life. Hallelujah. And it's likewise when you are in Christ. When you're in Christ, when you are born again, when you have that experience of a new life in Jesus Christ. Even though you were born physically in those years, but the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you are a born-again Christian. You are a new creation in Christ, and that is your real birth date. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So from there, there is an expectancy of growth. There is an expectancy that it's going to go from glory to glory. Not once at any time did Henry ever actually stop growing in one day. Because that's the law that God has put to us. And that's likewise for our walk with Jesus Christ. As you start to eat of the Word, as you start to fellowship with people, as you start to hear the Word, as you start to pray, as you start to grow in the Lord. You start to come to, like, I know for a fact that each one of you that has been sitting here, you could witness in what God is doing in your life already. Some of you would have said, you know what, guess what, last week, if it was last week that this thing happened to me, my goodness, I don't know how I would have reacted. But this week, you know, some of the guys that, you know, that take over your car and all of a sudden he does this and then they expect your hand to go up and do something, but yet you didn't. And then you surprise yourself that, wow, you came and share about it. You come and share to us about it. My goodness, guess what? That very same thing that I used to fall from, now I can actually overcome it. That is because of the Word of God that has been coming from this pulpit that you are hearing. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Your faith builds. Your faith grows as you start to hear the Word of God all the time, every day. That is why it's important that this is the only time we come and fellowship during the Sunday. But what about your Monday? What about your Tuesday? What about your Wednesday? What about your Thursday? What about your Friday? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it only on Sunday that you are called? They usually call Sunday Christians. Is it only on Sunday that you come and get in contact with God and you get fired up over here, and as soon as you walk out of the door, the Bible is right over there inside your bag and you pick it up again the next Sunday? That's not a relationship with God. That will deplete your growth in God. Hallelujah. Is there at any time at once that God stopped the air for 1 minute? Pshoop. Everybody will be falling dead. But because he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Actually, that's not what I'm supposed to preach about. Get back. Hallelujah. God is good. My title today is Show Up, Suit Up, and Stand. Show up, suit up, and stand. This text is found in Ephesians. Oh, it's I like that. Show up, shoot up. Praise the Lord. It's found in Ephesians 10 onwards. And it's talking about the armor of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, that book is the book of Ephesians. That book was written by Paul. It was written by Paul while he was in prison. And it was, he had a messenger that took it to Ephesus to be read in the church. And the book consisted very much of the strengthening of the church, encouraging the church, like what the sermons are doing to you every Sunday. And that's exactly what the letter of Paul, or the book of Paul, was to the Ephesians, was to encourage the church, was to strengthen the believers in their faith by explaining the nature and the purpose of the church, the body of Christ, and how to play your role in it. That was the context of what the letter is. You guys are staring at me. Do you guys read your Bible? But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But one thing you've got to remember, that Paul was addressing a church. He was addressing a church of believers. That means the people that was inside, they were believers. They were individuals that came to Christ. They came together, and it's become a church. Amen? So Paul was addressing this letter on the token that the people will understand that what they're doing right now, because, you know, in the first churches, it started from little homes, and then it started from the street, and then, but yet as it grew, it started to go in a building like this. So Paul was addressing at this time, putting things in order and in place in how to run a church. But at the end of it, in Ephesians 6, he started to come with, that's not found anywhere around the books that he had written, but what I had seen here is this, that the church had matured and now it needed to hear something that was supernatural from God. You see, I have a feeling that, a thing in my spirit is this, this church is now in that place. It is ready now that you hear the supernatural armor of God that has been given to us from heaven for you to wear. Hallelujah. You have been fed, you have been moved, you have been touched, but it's time now that you operate, that you show up, that you suit up, and stand firm. Hallelujah. It's not shoot up. Now the book of Ephesians is actually divided in so many, how Paul had explained it. From chapter 1, verse 23, he likened those, what he'd written there, as a body. But then it comes from chapter 2. He likened it as like a temple. In chapter 3, he likened it as a mystery, which is the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4, he likened it as like a new man. But in chapter 5, like a bride. In chapter 6, as a soldier. Amen. Amen. When someone comes to Christ, the very first time he comes to Christ, what he has done is this. Because of what he has done, the Holy Spirit, you know, the explanation that Pastor Ben was doing over here last week, that from the Holy Spirit, from Holy Spirit to Jesus and to the Father. Well, that's what the transition has been done to you when you come to Christ. Don't worry about those of you that are here that are not in Christ yet. There will be the opportunity given to you at the end of the service for you to give your lives to Jesus. Amen. But listen to me now. Now, that's what happened. When someone gives their life to Jesus, what happened is this. The master that used to own him, and that is Satan, no longer becomes his master. Hallelujah. There has been a change of hand. God, Jesus Christ, is now your master. And your former master does not like what happened. Now, this is real. The devil is real. The very Bible that we read about Jesus Christ really talks about this particular thing. What does Pastor Ben only say? Unemployed cherubim. He's an unemployed cherubim that didn't like what Jesus did and is after you. And that is real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day you came to Christ, your sins were forgiven and your condemnation was removed. One. Two, you were made a new creation, which is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when the Holy Spirit invaded your life and made you responsive to God. Three, you became a part of God's family. Hallelujah. Known as a child of God. No longer the child of the devil, but now you're a child of God. There has been a transition that has been made because of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Four, you were transported from darkness to light supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and now you are sealed with him, as it found in Ephesians 1. Can Johesh, can you go to Ephesians 1, verse 11 and to 14, please? We will read this. Who guarantees your inheritance of eternal life with Christ. That is what you are as you have come to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a lot of you that is looking at me right now, except for those who are unsaved. Hallelujah. There is a seal. Now, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Verse 12, please. That we who first trusted Christ should be to the praise of his glory. 13, in him you are also trusted after you heard the word of truth. That's when you first time heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also having believed, when you believed in him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Okay. There you go. There you go. There's a guarantee of your inheritance. Oh, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit has now sealed you. He's totally sealed you like this. He's captivated you because you are a possession now to God. Hallelujah. To the praise of his glory. That's who you are. Hallelujah. Hey, this is good news. You should be saying, praise the Lord, that's who I am in Christ. Right now, you are in the midst of a supernatural war. It's a war of good and the evil. It's a war between Christ and the Antichrist. It's a war between light and darkness. This supernatural war is a light, is a fight to the finish. It's not until you get tired and weary. We are not doing this because of our own strength. We are doing it in God's strength. Paul gave this battle cry in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. That is a command. It is not a request. It's for your benefit. Hallelujah. So in other words, Paul says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. Paul says in Colossians 2:15 that on the cross, Jesus was spoiling powers and principalities and making a public show of Satan. Whew. Hallelujah. You cannot believe in redemption of the cross and not believe in its purpose. You know what is the purpose? The purpose of the cross is to destroy every real, everything that the devil has brought to your life. It was brought to nil. He has been deemed powerless. Hallelujah. The Bible says like this, when he said to the disciples, go and wait, that you will receive weakness. Power! Go and wait that you will receive power. Hallelujah. 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 Now, in John 10:10, we all know that scripture. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When Paul was talking about the armor, he was talking about that this wrestle, that this struggle, it is real. It is not something that you can be ignorant about. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, when he came to the cross, he totally destroyed the power of the devil. So that your vicious cycle is now broken. Now you have a way out from that vicious cycle. Even though you are still in the flesh, still living and standing on this earth, you are still prone to all these temptations, but there is always a way out, and the way out is the choice you make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you are in Christ, when you are in Christ, who can be against you if you know who you are? Hallelujah. Like what I was just saying before, that's who you are in Christ. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Boom. You know those letters that have been sent by the old kings? They use a wax and they put their insignia seal on it. That means nobody opened it except who it was sent to. Hallelujah. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This struggle is real. There is a real enemy that we face. But most of us, we are ignorant about it because we cannot see it. That's the thing. See, Paul, when he started to speak, and this is the amazing supernatural thing that Paul was talking about. Can we go to Ephesians 6? Let us read from there. I just want to Ephesians 6, verse 10. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, this is what Paul, after he has been talking to the church, then he says, finally, this is what I want you to do. Like he's saying to the church, you know, I've spoken to you, I've said what I needed to say, but finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible says in Ephesians, go and wait that you may receive power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next verse, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles, in other words, wiles or schemes of the devil. You will note that it says, put all the whole, whole. It didn't say, put on the armor of God. Because some of us are wearing parts only. Hallelujah. You might have got a little bit of the word, but you're not living righteously. Hallelujah. And you ask yourself, why am I attacked all the time? Hallelujah. Because you're exposed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's, look, you will note that the word stand is there. stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Next verse, please. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Next verse, please. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Again, stand. You see that word, stand. In the evil day, and having done all, again, stand. The next verse, please. Look at that. Stand therefore. There's four times that it's in that scripture from 12 to 15. There's four times that the writer is saying stand. Hallelujah. You'll note that it did not say wear it and go. But it says stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this book, the book of Ephesians, Paul is identifying four fields of conflicts that we will always face. One, it is your mind. Secondly, it is your home. Third, it's your workplace. And fourth, in the church. There's these four areas that Paul has identified that this is where you're going to be facing conflict from. Hallelujah. I want you to go and read your Bible. These four things, the mind, the home, the workplace, and the church, it comes from the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when you came to Christ, you left your old master, Satan. Now your old master is now your enemy. Hallelujah. He wants to render you unproductive and ineffective. That's his main purpose. He wants to come and steal your vision. He wants to come and kill it right off. He wants to come and totally destroy it. He wants to come and kill your ministry. He wants to totally destroy it. He wants to actually say to you that you are nothing in God. He wants to kill what your belief and what you have believed on. That's his main purpose. That's what he is here for right now. He wants to destroy you. And I want to say it again. He wants to destroy you. That's his main ultimate purpose, is to destroy you. But I thank God that Jesus, when he went on the cross, he destroyed every power. So that your vicious cycle, you have an explosion right in the middle of that cycle. Boom! And the cycle was Jesus Christ. That you are able to hold on to him. That you are able to say to him, Jesus, you are my God. Hallelujah. You have an answer, and that is Jesus Christ. If you are unsaved today, if you are wondering to yourself, what kind of life am I going through? Why am I going through this vicious cycle? All of a sudden, I'm broke again. I get paid. I've done this, all this. All of a sudden, it's I. I tell you today, you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the very... Hallelujah. There was all this for mind, the home, the workplace, and the church. And the devil wants you. He wants to come at you. And he comes at you at the very tactics right from old. Deception. Hallelujah. If we go right to the Genesis 3, when Eve was deceived. Eve was deceived. Hallelujah. And this was what Satan said to him. Did God really say that? Did God really say what he said to you? Hallelujah. Just an example. A man who's serving in ministry. But his lifestyle at his work is arrogance. Can you fool God? Hallelujah. A man in ministry, yet on a leisure time, he goes and does the pokies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the very first sin that happened. That when Eve was alone, that the devil was able to deceive her. One of the biggest struggles that you will face, that's the reason why Paul is saying to you, put on the whole armor of God. One of it is deception. The devil will try and come and deceive you again. He does not want you to have that everlasting life, that life that Jesus has promised for you. Hallelujah. I want you today, you start standing up and say to the devil, this is it for you today. I'm not going to be deceived by you again. God cannot fool us because of what Jesus did. He came to the cross. He's not going to save you and then kick you to the devil again for the devil to kick you around. No. He's given you his authority so that you can start to kick the devil around. He says that under your feet, that's where he belongs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was Satan's first scheme. Deception. Deceived Eve. Said to her, did God really say what he said? In other words, what he did was, wow, okay. What is he trying to say to me? I mean, that's what God said to me, that if I eat of this tree, I shall surely die. Hallelujah. That is the reason why that you gird in your loins the word of God. And you sing out to God, search me, O Lord. Search me. With what I'm doing, I need you. He's saying, fasten it. The belt means so that your pants or whatever cannot fall down. If it's running loose, if your pants is loose. You remember in the 80s when the black Americans wore their pants very low up to here. You know, with their underwear exposed right up to here. You know, and that they didn't have any belts. It was like a fashion. And somewhere on the line, it might have fallen off. But the belt is meant to fasten that word of God to you. In other words, use it as a mirror to reflect you. Use it as a mirror to reflect your life. If there's one way that you're going to do it, is this, oh Lord, search me so that I may be in line with your word. Hallelujah. Search me. Use the word of God as a mirror to you. He says, gird your loins. Because if it's going to fall off here, what's going to happen as soon as it goes more down, you'll trip and you'll fall. And you didn't fall because of sin. You fall because of you fall because you're just unconsiderate about your lifestyle with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you to make a stand in this, you need to intentionally buckle your waist with the truth. Buckle it intentionally. Remember, I'm using this word intentionally. In other words, that whenever situations do arise, you bring the word in line. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 onwards, you take the word and captivate it unto Christ. If the word is not of Christ, check it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to start making decisions, making real decisions and intention to do. In Psalm 51, it says like this. There was a cry. It was a psalm that David wrote coming back to God. It was a psalm of repentance. He said like this, you seek my inner truth, O God. He's talking about his lifestyle of lies. Hallelujah. Sometimes you pick up the phone and say, "Man, sorry, I mean, I'm feeling sick today. I cannot come to music practice." But really, you're going to dinner somewhere. Hallelujah. It's something that we could laugh about, but it's deception. The very same sin that Eve fell from. Hallelujah. Intentionally buckle your waist with the truth. In other words, bring the word, look inside you and bring the word in front of you and see whether your life is according to the word. If it's not according to the word, then you change your lifestyle according to the word. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word God, like this, that the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces right into the marrows of your bones. It even into your joints. And it knows the intentions of your heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. In John, it says like this, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Hallelujah. You take Jesus, you take the word, and look at yourself and say, my reflection has to be that. I have to look like the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next one is a life of compromise. Again, in the garden. From the devil to Eve. He says like this. What did he say to you? He said, "If I take this, I shall surely die." And he put it back to him. "You shall surely die? Certainly not." Living a life of compromise. In Ephesians, it says like this, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, deal with it before it gets to the next day. But a lot of us, we might be angry right now. We might be angry at our spouses. We might be angry at our husbands. We might be angry at our children, and we leave it overnight. What Paul says is true. He means it, because this struggle is what we have. It's a struggle that we have. It's a wrestling that we go through, that we even though we know about the Word of God, but yet we're still compromising. It's yes or yes or no. He says like this, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, deal with it before it gets to the next day. Because when it gets to the next day, from this bit, it becomes this bit. Then you can't handle it. Then when you come to me, I say, "Go ahead, deal with it yourself." Yeah. Life of compromise. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Get rid of bitterness. Paul is writing to the church. He's telling him, "Listen, this is one of your struggles. This is one of the struggles that you're going through. That's why you need the breastplate of righteousness. If you're doing that, are you being righteous before God?" Oh, that son is really... Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, am I getting to you? Are you getting this? Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Get rid of bitterness. You surely shall not die. What about if you were angry and Jesus Christ came that night? make intentional choices to do the right thing. That is your struggle that we have. The devil is real. Whatever you're going through with your spouses, he says like this, you're not fighting with flesh and blood. There's a real thing that is out there that we cannot see, but that Paul is talking about. It's in the spiritual realm. There is a real war happening, but he is telling you to stand. Wear the armor of God and stand. Hallelujah. 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 You got to start to make some decisions. That is the only thing that God cannot go against you with. He has given you the power to make decisions on your own self. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for those who believe may have everlasting life. Hallelujah. It's the decision you make that will create who you are in Christ. You got to start making decisions now to live righteously before God. See, God is righteous. Remember, Paul was talking to the church. He was talking to believers. God's righteousness has been imputed in them. But Paul is referring to how you're doing with that righteousness. It's by grace you have been saved, yes. But are you living right before God? Hallelujah. Make the decision to make choices to do the right thing before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next one is complacency. You're complacent. Hallelujah. Again in the garden. If you eat of this, you will be like God. Eve's mind started going round. What will I benefit from this? She was now thinking of what she would become. The scheme of the devil was to get her concerned of her own position in life than her calling in God. You see, my goodness, you will be like God. In other words, this was what was going on in her mind. Wow, first I'll get wisdom. I'll be like God. I'll know what good and bad is. That means if I'm like God, there is no other God. It's just me and God. We are the same now. Certainly not. Exactly the same thing Satan fell from heaven from. He wanted to be like God. You see? Complacency. Hallelujah. Personal comfort becoming more important than the calling of God. Satan wants the church to wear slippers. And not God, and not what, it's not what you want to do. It's a battle of commission and comfort. Hallelujah. He said, put on slippers. Did he say put on slippers? Put on shoes in some versions. Shoes means it's a working boot. But when you look at the army, at the person that is a Roman army of those days, what they usually do is this, with their shoes, they put spikes on the bottom of it like this. So that when they stand, they are standing firm. Hallelujah. He says, put on the shoes of the gospel. You see, with complacency, this is what will do to you. You'll start to think about your own benefits, then what God has commanded you to do in Matthew 28. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. Is it Matthew 28? Now, the scheming that the devil has done here is this: to get her concerned of her own position in life. That means she will be like God. She will know what good and evil is, rather than the calling to tend the garden. You see. Oh. I'll throw this on the side. It's a. You'll notice that. Where was Adam at the time of the conversation? Women, don't make decisions without your husbands. That's just a bonus for the husbands. Hallelujah. Satan wants the church to be just a complacent church. A church that sits down and people are just comfortable. They come every week, they listen to the word of God, they say, yes, praise the Lord, you know, with their Bible up, you know, Pastor Ben says, show me your Bible, you show your Bible, and then as you walk out of here, you put your Bible in your bag, and right through the week, that Bible is inside the bag. You are living a complacent life. You are living a life that is not a relationship with God. A relationship is a communication. You are talking to Him, He's talking to you. So if He spoke to you on Sunday, what about the rest of the week? You know, if my wife doesn't speak to me for 1 week, my goodness. Hallelujah. Complacency. Put in your feet. One thing you got to remember, you have been salvaged. You have been saved so that you can take the gospel. You have a job. Paul says, put the shoes on. It's not something for you to wear. It's a command. It's not only for evangelists. Hallelujah. If you say it's for the evangelist and you are not, that means you got no shoes on. That means you're walking around with the breastplate of righteousness, with the helmet of salvation, with the sword of the Spirit, with the belt of truth girded over here, with the shield of faith, no shoes. You know, I've been in Australia for quite a long time. When I go to the village where I came from, before arriving in Australia, I used to walk bare feet. I had like a rubber sole created on the bottom of my legs. Like I could walk on rocks and everything and run on it. Now I'm doing this. Because it had thinned out. I've been living away from that kind of lifestyle. Hallelujah. But He's saying to you, put that thing on. Oh, but you know, I just got saved. Your testimony is worth it. You don't have to preach the whole Bible. You see, right from the start, when Peter stood up, he stood up and preached the gospel. 3,000 people got saved. And the church was added every day. Was Peter preaching? No, it was those people that got saved. All they were talking about was their testimony. In Revelations 12 verse 11, it says like this, that the devil is defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ and the words of our testimony. Your testimony is enough to turn somebody around. Hallelujah. Don't have to be a Bible basher. Because your testimony is powerful. Because it's not what you did, it's what God did for you. Hallelujah. Third one, fourth one, is it? Isolation. Why I say isolation, see, is this. In the Roman days, there are two types of shields that they use. One is a round one, which is for the hand-to-hand combat, which they will be using this. When he comes at you, you'll be doing that, and he'll be doing that. It's a round one. It's a small one. But there's another one, which is about a 6 foot tall one, an oblong one, and usually it's shaped curved like that. And that's the one that when you put in front of you, it covers the whole of you. But you note, can we read that part over there about the shield? Shield of faith. There you go. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You note all. Listen, if you have only one, and I know it's covering the front of you, what about the top of you? That's why the Romans created. They created a thing called phalanx, which is shields brought together by a few people that they do a covering like a turtle. So that when the fiery darts do come over, they are protected on the inside of it. You see, Paul is emphasizing this particular thing. Take up your shield of faith. He's not talking about your individual faith. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church that we must come together in faith. Sometimes some of your friends might say, oh man, I'm suffering. Some of us are suffering in silence because they cannot share what they're going through. You need other people. Some of you are copping this fleck of these fiery darts coming at you because you are a loner. You have isolated yourself. Hallelujah. You need your friends. You need the church so that you may create a phalanx so that when the fiery darts, you will quench, it says, all the fiery darts. That means nothing will get at you. If you're facing that right now, come unto the fold. Come into prayer meeting. Come and share about your situation. You cannot do it alone. Remember, we were saved individually, but we were called into a church which Christ is the head. Hallelujah. You cannot do it alone. If you are going through this, come to your senior pastor or to yours and say, listen, I've been going through this situation. I've been copping it and copping it and copping it. I don't know what to do. I'm just like I'm down and out. Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, the Bible says, I will not fear because I am with you. Remember, everything you go through when you're in Christ is just a shadow. It's just a shadow. It's not a real thing. It feels like it's a real thing, but it is not. And a shadow is created by the light. And sometimes those situations you go through, it's for your own good. Pastor Ben was saying, yeah, God left the devil there. It's for your growth. It's for your growth. So that every time you have been tempted, you have a way to come out of it. You can overcome. Jesus said, I've overcome this world so that you can become overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When shields are brought together, it brings a collective faith. It brings a powerful protection, untouched. Hallelujah. 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 And the last one, discouraged. Hallelujah. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, that helmet will remind you that you have been salvaged by God. The devil will try and throw at you. Huh? You think you've been saved? Look at you. Look at what you've done. Look at where you came from. Hallelujah. Not only that, it's a two-pronged thing. That you remind yourself that this helmet of salvation will protect your mind, will protect your head. When you put on the helmet of salvation, you are putting on the mind of Christ. You're becoming Christ-like in the way you think. Hallelujah. And when it's Christ-like the way you think, all you'll be thinking about is the salvation of other people, that they need to be saved. You cannot be selfish about what God has done in your life. You cannot be just that isolated person that has the faith that I'm just going to listen to the word of God and go home. It's for my own benefit only. Yes, it is. But you're being selfish about your neighbor. The Bible says like this, love your God with all your heart and all your might. Love your neighbor before you loving yourself. You see, a lot of us are loving ourselves before we start loving our neighbors. A lot of times it's just concern me, 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 me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop isolating yourself. Come into the fold. And that was one of the struggles that Paul was putting to the church in Ephesus. A lot of you are going on your own things, are doing your own things. A lot of you are working like without the covering. Hallelujah. Let's put our shields together. Let's put our shields together. Just imagine if this church, what, there's 300 people here, all their shields together. No chance for the devil. No chance for the evil one. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for the helmet of salvation. Hallelujah. This is how you will stand. I'll summarize it a little bit for you. Through rigorous personal honesty, a self-examined life, by girding in your waist the belt of truth. One, through uncompromised personal integrity, does not take the scripture as some ideal out there, but a serious pathway of God that will give you eternal life. That is the breastplate of righteousness. Have the commitment in the advancement of the gospel through all circumstances over our personal comfort by putting on the shoes of the gospel and taking it. Hallelujah. By joining faith with other believers whom we are bound together and the confident expectation of victory in God. Shields together. One faith, one God, one love. Hallelujah. And the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. The outcome of this battle is already determined. Hallelujah. Satan's defeat comes in three strikes. One, Calvary, defeated the power of the evil on the cross. Blew open the kingdom of darkness, rendering it powerless, so there is a way out of it through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Territory invaded. Second, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It is the ministry that God has given to the church, that is you. Go and what? Plunder hell and populate heaven. Not hell plundering the church. It's us, we're plundering hell and populating heaven. That's the mission and the commission that God has given to our church. Hallelujah. When Jesus sent his disciples in ministry, when he sent them two by two, they came back with a report. The devils were delivered. The sick were healed. The lame walked. And you know what Jesus said? And Jesus said, he saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. That is, we are invading his territory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church advances the sword of the Holy, with the sword of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the saints in all kinds of prayer in the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I will pray. Today I want to pray for you, for those who is terminally ill that's inside this house today. Hallelujah. I want to pray for those who want to commit their lives to God today, who has never known about a relationship with God, but who wants to live a life with God. You just leave your chair and come up and walk up. I want to pray for those, hallelujah, who's sick, who's not feeling well. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you with the word that we've heard today, that if we have been always been deceived, that today we are cutting it off by the power of Jesus Christ. If we have been living a life of compromise, today we're going to live righteously before you. If we're living a life of complacency, today we're going to really know, we're going to stand on what you've called us to do. If we have been isolating ourselves by just doing things our own way, today I join my faith with my friends and my church today. If I have been discouraged by the devil telling me all sorts of things, challenging my being saved, challenging my ministry, challenging who I am in Christ, today I put on the mind of Christ. I put on the helmet of salvation, which permanently reminds me that I have been salvaged by God. That there is no other. Again, anytime Jesus will come back and die on the cross, he is the one and only sacrifice. God has called us to war today, church. Let us put on the full armor of God and stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the worship team starts to sing, I want you to just leave your chair and come forward if you feel like you need prayer. But if you're shy to come, there's always, we are here to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.